WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Music like this pairs well with dark rooms, colorful lights, and clouds of fog. Though dance music has a lot of mainstream appeal today, it was born in underground spaces, basements, members-only parties, and boiler rooms. Now, if you're in the scene, then that name probably rings a bell. In 2010, streaming from a dingy boiler room in disrepair, the series named after the space began. The UK-based organization puts the focus on the DJs and curators spinning the records, with the camera in front of the turntables and the party in the background. The series is coming to Grant Park with an after party at Radius today. And to learn more about the event, we spoke with Yenesita, who is a local DJ performing at Boiler Room Chicago. We'll also hear from a special guest DJing the after party, musician Rebecca Black. But first, I started by asking Yenesita how she's feeling ahead of her set tonight. Here's Yenesita.
I'm nervous, but really excited. And if you're not nervous, then you're not excited enough. You know, that's what everyone always says. But it's going to be an experience of a lifetime. And I'm just so honored to be on such a stellar lineup. Yeah. That's all I can feel right now.
Yeah. Well, for the people who aren't familiar with Boiler Room, it's a London-based online music broadcaster that spotlights underground music, parties, as well as DJs from all around the world. Now, what kind of music do you enjoy mixing?
Everything that's going to be played at Boiler Room, essentially, which is why I feel like it's so perfect because I couldn't just pigeonhole myself into one genre for the day.
So we're talking what, house?
Yeah, house,
juke.
Club, Club Latino, a little bit of techno, some footwork at the end. It's just a little bit of everything that I am, and I'm just really lucky that I get to do that at a boiler room because I don't have to focus so much on an opening set or a middle set or even like closing set. I could just be myself the entire time.
Might have just said some new names for folks because people have probably heard of Chicago house music, but they may not be as familiar with other quintessential Chicago subgenres like the ones you just named, juke, footwork, etc. So how would you describe those types of house music? And why do you gravitate toward that sound?
It's funny because I group them all as like if they were all family members. It's like house is the uncle, and then you have like the little cousins next to it.
Oh, I love that.
Because everything evolved from disco, you know, and then you have, you know, higher BPMs, which is just a higher pace that you would be dancing to a tempo, right? Mm-hmm. So, they all complement each other, and that's why I think I enjoy mixing them.
They all are upbeat, and they make my shoulders do this.
Yes.
Go up and down, for sure. Mm-hmm. I think house music is having a moment right now, too, Yenesita, in the mainstream. I'm thinking of Beyonce, yes. Drake, Billie Eilish, all taking inspiration from house and tech music, especially in the last year or two. Does house music still feel underground to you?
100%.
Yeah.
Especially because I don't see enough house underground parties that are focused on house music specifically, unless you're in Chicago. And you see it a lot in boiler rooms. There's a lot of different genres, and you might associate it with one specific type of style or lifestyle, but it really is everything. I'm a big fan of, you know, Paul Johnson, and he's had a boiler room. You know, other artists that are from Chicago.
Yeah.
And that is what we need to keep doing. Yeah.
What do you think of huge musicians like the ones I just named being inspired by music that was born right here in this city?
I love it because they're leaning into producers that are from Chicago or have left Chicago but are from here, you know, working in different studios. So tapping into that POC culture that exists in the community, I think, is so important. Another artist that I just found out this week that is also integrated into house music with different producers is Alicia Keys.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So she's incredible. She's got her hand in a lot of things.
Yeah. A lot of producers remix the song for her. And it's like a whole album. And I recommend it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely going to check that out. Well, you will be performing with other DJs like Chicago's own Hiroko Yamamura and other acts like DJ Harvey, High Tech, Skepta. What do you think of this mix of talent? You know, folks are going to Boiler Room and seeing all of these folks lined up.
It's super crazy because I'm a fan of Skepta as a rapper. And I remember when I used to curate playlists prior to becoming a DJ, pre-pandemic, these were artists that I was listening to consistently. Underground Resistance, all the artists under that. And to be on the same lineup as them, it's just crazy. I was like, whoa. It's like if they tapped into my Spotify playlist or something, you know, for example.
Yeah.
But it's nice to know that we're all aligned and that the sound is going to be synchronized.
You fit right in.
Yeah. And as a female, too, I think it's even more empowering. Because you don't see a lot of Latinas on lineups like this, headlining. Because I'm a headliner, just like everyone else.
It's amazing.
So it's it gives me chills just to like feel it.
Well deserved. Well deserved. Any idea when folks can catch you on stage?
I would say get there early because you want to be at every single Boiler Room act that's going to be there. So I don't want to say what time, but just get there.
So let's learn more about you as an artist. What was your first introduction to house music?
Ooh, I would say I was a baby. And living up in the North Side, my parents used to play a lot of music in the living room and dance to the radio programs that used to be on air with special DJs and stuff. So jamming in the car and being able to take that music back and forth with me to Mexico because, you know, I also grew up over there with family and stuff like that. I was able to take these, you know, cassettes and compilation CDs, like those burned discs that we used to collect back
in the
day.
Oh, I remember those. Yeah.
Yeah. And take that music over there and just share it with my friends that are so fascinated by Chicago music because one, they didn't have access to it. And it's just fun. You know, it has a nice vibe to it every time you put it on.
Well, you are super multi-talented because you make music too.
Yes.
I want to listen to one of your tracks. Here is Manea. Really mad that I'm sitting in my seat right now because this is like fire.
Yeah, thank you so much.
How does producing music fit into your work as a DJ?
I think it was something that was a goal for me because I wanted to understand music a little bit deeper and also just tap into who I really am, what style I bring to the table, right? Mm-hmm. To the decks, right? No pun intended.
Yeah.
But It's just something that I think I needed specifically because I wanted to have a podcast show and invite my friends to send me DJ mixes and just have a channel that I could share music that I'm listening to and what's new, right? Mm-hmm. Like these subgenres. And in order to do that, I had to learn Ableton to be able to do it. That's mm-hmm. the program that I use as a DAW. And at first, I just told my friend, hey, I just want to learn how to be able to do a radio show, copy, paste, all this stuff. And she's like, girl, that's not how it works. You have to really understand music theory. You have to do all this and X, Y, Z. And so that just opened up a whole new world to me because I was making intro tracks and my commercials, you know, for my show, you know, because I need to promote it. And so I just started doing music after that.
You're like, I'm already producing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And as a DJ, it's great to have your own tracks and be able to share that and see how the crowd receives it. And I think this is one of the tracks that's been received really well in Mexico. And I love it because they play it on different shows and they share it with me. And I think that it means something to the culture
that
I was
awesome.
Able to do something for them.
That is awesome. Late last year, you came out with your very first compilation track called Global Tracks, The Evolution of Our Culture's Dance Roots. Why was this something that you wanted to curate? And I'm curious how you went about choosing what songs to include.
Yeah, that was difficult because everybody had really great submissions. The goal was to be able to use elements of Chicago footwork, which is a subgenre of house in Chicago that, you know, was developed in the south side of Chicago. And everybody around the world that has collaborated with us on Juke MX and or is a fan would reach out, you know, sharing tracks with us all the time in emails, and we didn't really know what to do with it. So this was a nice challenge to bring together our roots, the sounds from our roots, where we come from, and mixing in Chicago footwork elements. And we got, you know, tracks from all over the world, which was amazing.
Wow. You dedicate this Global Tracks to your father and your tía.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about them?
They're my inspiration, obviously, in music. My dad embraced the radio, which is how I got exposed to it, because he used that as a way to promote his work as an event curator in Mexico. And my tía was also a DJ. So I think I get my inspiration and that drive from seeing their confidence and what they did so humbly and so with so much talent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to that end, I mean, you feature local DJs and producers in this compilation, like RGB and other artists from around the world, like DJ Premium Tracks from Mexico.
Yes.
So again, of course, including your culture and your background in your music and DJing, that seems to be really important to you.
Yeah, I think it's just embracing cultures. And if you're from the United States, you know that we're immersed in different cultures on a daily. So to be able to bring together that energy and the love for Chicago footwork is, I think, the most important thing out of all of it.
I think it's time to hear another track that's part of your set this Saturday. Let's listen. Now, a recent development, I hear that you have something new on Thursdays at Smart Bar.
I do. So it's a bi-monthly series, party series that I recently was invited to be part of. And the party is called Public Movement. Mm-hmm. And I think the name speaks for itself. It's, you know, owning who you are. What do you want to bring to the decks? And have a good time. This is Smart Bar. This is a legendary place.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone should just be, you know, excited to bring what they're going to bring, right, as a DJ. So I just kind of created that name to bring together different cultures and different types of people and sounds.
Public Movement.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So people can find you DJing around town, like Smart Bar in Wrigleyville, Emporium in Wicker Park. And we can also hear you on the airwaves at 105.5 FM, Lumpen Radio. What is coming up for you, Yanisita?
The show is just getting better and better every month on Lumpen Radio. So I'm really excited to be showcasing and highlighting more talent that is Latin American, but also the people that inspire them. So we talk about different artists. Sometimes we bring other artists that they're inspired by to be able to do like a 2-hour show that you get to, you know, learn and get educated on why these things are related to each other, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like my mixes. Why do I blend all these genres, right? So that's fun. And I'm releasing a lot of new music this year. So there's a lot cooking in the kitchen.
Oh, that's incredible. We have been talking to Yanisita, who's one local DJ taking the stage on Saturday for Boiler Room Chicago at Grant Park. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Thank you. Up next, you'll hear my conversation with artist and musician Rebecca Black ahead of her set at the Boiler Room Chicago After Party. We'll talk about DJing, her latest album, and what she's been up to recently. Here's Rebecca.
I'm really excited. I mean, Boiler Room is one of like the most iconic club nights that has really, I think, existed in the scene in the last few decades. And I've been a huge fan of Boiler Room for years. And I've actually never had the chance to go to one because they don't happen a lot in LA. But yeah. But I'm really pumped.
And you're not new to Chicago, right? You were in town for your tour last year. So does this time feel different, though, because of a different crowd?
Well, yeah. So I'm doing a DJ set, which is always like a really kind of, I think, different side of myself that I really love and like have grown such a passion for over the last probably like 6 years of doing it. But it's a different vibe, you know, from my show. But at the same time, I think that more and more as I create, like, and understand who I am as an artist, the kind of more threads exist in each one that feel really, I guess, like cohesive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, let's dig into that because you've had a long career from being a recording artist. So some people might not know that you DJ too, right? What got you into that?
Probably not.
Right.
The first time I ever DJed was, I must have been like 21. And honestly, I was at my friend's place who had a controller, like a tiny little, just like cheap DJ controller. And I was watching her do it. And like, it looked so fun. And I think I've always been someone who has loved music curation. And I've always been such a fan of so many genres myself. And like, I'm a girl that loves to party. It started as something really casual that I would just do at kind of my friends' parties and, you know, kind of go back to back with some of my friends. And then I forget how exactly it started, but I think I randomly got asked to DJ and I was like, oh my God, like an actual club night, maybe like 5 years ago. And I fully was unprepared to do it, but that's kind of, I think, how a lot of DJs start.
You get thrown right in.
You get thrown in and you just figure it out. And I've, you know, taken a lot. I've learned so much since then. But yeah, every night is kind of figuring it out.
That's so cool. And as we all know, I mean, Chicago really is the birthplace of house music, which has inspired a lot of the electronic dance music or EDM that we hear today. Mm-hmm. Do you like house music?
I love it. My set is full of house music. My set is full of everything. Honestly, I love to play pop. I love to play house. I love to play trance. I love to play even like a little hard style stuff. Like, I think that my favorite sets that I've ever been to are full of so many different styles and so many different sounds and are full of, I think, surprises and kind of keep you on your toes. And that's always my goal.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like performing a DJ set is different from your usual concert show, but what do you like about both of them?
They're just such different sides of myself. I think that over the years, as I've kind of cultivated the audience that I have now, which is a really different atmosphere than where I started, my like core audience know a lot about who I am and my taste and what I like. And it's been over the years of like DJing small clubs and DJing after parties and really also like being very open with my taste online, that I have like a core group that knows what to expect and knows like, oh, like I know she's gonna play the shit I like. I think that what becomes really fun for me is like as a DJ, I think being able to showcase just the music that I really love and the artists that I really love and the songs and versions and remixes that really excite me and that I want to hear, that's very fun for me. Whereas my show is like a completely different, I guess, like expression of my music, you know, like I DJ some of my own stuff sometimes and I always throw a little surprise in there. And I'll definitely play some new stuff that maybe hasn't come out yet at this set. But yeah, I think that my show is just a completely different beast. There's dancers, there's props, there's like, you know.
So cool.
Me singing.
Yes. And speaking of your music, well, congratulations are in order because you released your first album, Let Her Burn, last year. So let's listen to a song off the album. Here's Crumbs. So cherry chaotic, the taste of losing control. I'm chasing down the drip, down the private hole. Now I'm staring down the metal barrel of your gun. I surrender on a bender, you're the jar. So you said that you wanted to explore the, quote, vulnerability in finding balance with submission, dominance, and sexuality, end quote. With your album. Why was this something that you wanted to dive into? And how did you do that?
I think it's just when I'm making music, and especially with this debut album, it was such a, even though I've been writing music for now like almost half my life, I think with this album, it was the first kind of opportunity I really felt like I had control and control within myself in that, on like that scale of a project. And it feels like such a big introduction, I think, when you're gearing up to do any kind of a debut. And it was what I was dealing with in my life. Like, I think anytime I walk into a session, whatever's fresh in my emotional space is where I walk into. And as painful and as complicated and confusing as that can be, like, it is the most cathartic part of, I think, what I do. And I wrote the song when I was maybe 20, 24, about to be 25.
Oh, wow.
And just experiencing a new part of my own confidence in my sexuality and confidence in my sensuality. And that only feels natural because it was top of mind, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Let Her Burn, which is the name of the album. It was also one of the most anticipated albums of 2023 by an LGBTQ artist. What was that like to be included in that way?
I think it will forever be surreal to even be described like that. And I just feel really grateful that people have really, I guess, continued to be interested and be and have looked forward to, you know, what I create. I think from my beginning, which was such an out of control thing that I was unprepared for, to be in a space where now I really get to make every decision from every word that I write, lyric that I sing, mm-hmm. Piece of like creative visual that anybody sees, that's all coming from where I want to go and the people that I really trust to create those things with. And I just feel really grateful that people have listened to that.
Yeah. The album features 10 songs, and I want to listen to another one. This is Look at You.
People see you on the screen and think you make believe, but I tell them you're better in person. You got that kind of confidence that makes everyone obsess. But be honest, I know that you're hurting,
but I guess I love this one. It's one of the songs that you released as a single before releasing Let Her Burn. So tell us about this one.
Look at You was one of the last songs that came as part of the album, and I think was in a place where I was just exploring other relationships I had in my life, specifically friendships that I had in my life with people that I really care about. And really, I think as I've navigated my 20s, and I don't think this is like an uncommon experience, I think we all do this for hopefully ever, is we really learn from the people that are around us and watch them navigate alongside us. And for me, I had this experience with one of my closest friends, where I watched someone that I think I have almost idolized and put on a pedestal for so long, I guess, kind of struggle with the one thing that I think not only me, but everybody in her life would struggle with, which you see someone who feels like they have it so together and feels so confident and so has everything you could ever want. And watching them struggle, I think, created this mirror that I cast onto myself and made me reconsider the ways that I thought about myself and thought about the ideas of confidence and fragility in general. Mm. And yeah, that's where the look at you came from.
I feel like we're currently seeing a revitalization of the hyper-pop music landscape. And I love that we're seeing so much love for female pop singers, especially queer pop singers. Where do you think Rebecca Black fits in the music landscape today?
That's a crazy question. Please ask someone else. I think that it's obviously so exciting to see this like kind of lesbian pop. I don't even know if it's a renaissance. It feels like it's this moment in time that has really never happened like this before. And I think watching the way that every like cultural scape moves in cycles, but obviously this one this year, if you're tuned in to, you know, all of the girls that are out there right now and all of the artists that are really giving their all and I think are really being championed for like their uniqueness and their point of view, that is really exciting to me, because that is all I think I and so many still like artists who are grinding in the scene have ever dreamed of. I think the thing that pushes everyone forward from an encouragement standpoint, but also from hopefully like an artistic standpoint, is seeing the push for individuality and the push for uniqueness and the push for, like I said, point of view. I think the last thing you could ever want is to see people fitting into bubbles that already exist, or, you know, I guess being kind of molded and forced. And that feels like a really exciting moment for me, just to watch as even a viewer and for me and what I create and everything that I've been kind of working on even since my last album or my first album. Mm-hmm. It just pushes me harder, I think.
All right, Rebecca, let's listen to another song. This is What Am I Gonna Do With You? All right, so elephant in the room. I think there are still people who remember you from your 2011 viral hit Friday, but your career has changed so much since then. So what has it been like for you growing and just seeing yourself grow into this artist that you are today?
It's been a long journey.
It's been a journey. I bet.
I mean, I know that I'm young and I just turned 27, and I'm sure so many people listening to this will like think it's so naive in a way, but, and I've heard that for years, but at the same time, I only have the perspective of the life I've lived, and I've been doing this for basically half my life. And I think growing and growing into yourself and discovering sense of self is such a challenging process for anyone, especially nowadays. And for every generation that gets even younger, I can only imagine what it's like now versus what I had it like in kind of the 2010s. But mm-hmm. It's such a confusing process to navigate on your own, let alone I think this relationship that I had and have always had with the way that people have perceived me and the way people have defined me. It's made it really challenging at times, but at the same time, I kind of, thanks to my own experience in an unexpected way, like developed such a passion for this outlet that I've created in my music and in everything that revolves around that. I was always a performer as a kid, and I was at such a again, like unprepared stage for any of that to happen when I was a kid. And I really had to learn how to be comfortable in having control over my life and in my world. And I think that's something anyone deserves.
Well, you know, as you think back on some of those challenges that you were talking about a moment ago, what do you want people to know about your music now?
I think I just want people to listen to it and take from it in a way that they would with anyone else. I think the last thing anybody wants is kind of an elephant in the room or like a past like signifier of what they should expect. Mm-hmm. I want people to listen with no expectations. And if they like it because they like it, awesome. If they don't like it, that's great. Like, I think that that has always been something that I've grappled with as I've grown up. But at the same time, like, I really am not afraid or have no fear, I guess, over what I think I was defined by or have been defined by, or maybe still am defined by, in this way, because I wouldn't have the perspective without it at all. I would be a completely different person, I think.
Well, I got to say, I love your aesthetic as an artist, everything from your music videos to your photo shoots to your album covers. I mean, are you getting inspiration from somewhere or someone?
Every process for every video, for every single art, for every concept has been so different and has been born out of the relationship that I have with whoever I'm creating with and kind of where we draw similar, I guess, kind of loves and inspirations. And it's something that I think over these last few years, I've really just tried to draw, I guess, lines and circles is a really weird way of putting it around what really inspires me, from films and directors that I love to colors and theory around like the way that things might look together in a beautiful, it's anything really. It could be like walking down the street and getting an idea of an interesting way that something could be told. It comes in a lot of different ways. And I think I'm still like discovering how I even find inspiration and all of that. That'll always change. And
yeah. Well, we got to know, who have you been listening to? Like, what's been on your rotation?
Oh my gosh. Well, obviously the girls. I'm like, so as a longtime Charlie fan, I've been so excited to see this kind of like newfound push. I know everyone's obviously obsessed with Brat. I've been listening to a lot of this artist, Sarah Kinsley, who has this amazing song, Love God, and just dropped another new song I really love. I've been listening to a lot of The Dare. I've been listening to a lot of this artist from London based Victim, especially like gearing up for this set. It's like some really heavy dance music. Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of old Lana.
Oh yeah. Yeah. A lot of the faves for sure. Yeah. That's a great list. Yeah. Well, we didn't see any features or collabs with the Let Her Burn album, but if there was anyone that you could collaborate with, who would it be?
Oh my gosh.
I know, I'm asking all the tough questions today, Rebecca.
I think that there have been so many people that I've felt so privileged to kind of like work alongside of, and honestly, someone that I've loved to create with in the past and who I would always be happy to work with again is my friend Dorian Electra. And I've been on the Chapel grind for a long time. Like, I have been loving what she's been doing for so long. And it feels really exciting to see someone like that kind of get her flowers.
Well, you have been performing a lot with the tour last year and performing at different festivals. You've been DJing. So what can we expect from you next?
I'm definitely at a finishing stage of kind of what is coming next. And I've been making some music that I'm really excited about and I think has definitely evolved quite significantly from even where I was with my last album. So I'm really excited to, you know, kind of begin to share that with the world, hopefully pretty soon.
Awesome. We have been talking with artist and musician Rebecca Black. Rebecca, thank you so much for making the time and good luck tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's go out on one more song. This is Destroy Me.
God, am I just a loser? I bet that's what they always say. Man, everybody's cooler.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced and mixed by Micah Yasin, with help from Nadia Hernandez and Ethan Schwab. It was edited by Meha Ahmed. Reset brings you the latest that you need to know about what's happening in arts and culture around the city. You can check out a full archive of our conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening. We'll meet again soon. Destroy me.
name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely